Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf, Baba Basra, Daf Lamed Hey. We are holding on Lamed Dalet, Lamed Beis. Three lines off the bottom of the Amud. We begin with a story involving our good friends Reuben and Shimon. So Reuben says, this thing belongs to me. Shimon likewise claims the same. Ze'oimer Shalavoisa, he says, well, it belonged to my family. Ze'oimer Shalavoisa, he claims it belonged to his parents. Rajbam says, we're speaking Bein Besvina, Bein Bekarka, whether it's a boat, whether it's a piece of property. It doesn't matter. Rajbam continues, Ve'in Edus, this is four lines from the bottom. Ve'in Edus V'chazoka L'zeh Yosem R'zeh, says the Rajbam. We're speaking that either one of these parties could not really prove his claim, could not substantiate his ownership, whether by way of bringing witnesses or by way of chazaka. So we have this debate between Reuben and Shimon, each one claiming ownership. What are we meant to do? Amar Rav Nachman says, Rav Nachman, look, we're stuck. We can't, you know, the Bezdin cannot get involved. We cannot rule either way. So what do we say? Kol the olam gavar. Whoever is stronger prevails. Now, strength here is either physical strength, believe it or not, or by way of litigation, judicial substantiation of his claim. So he'll bring Edom or whatever he can find to back up his claim. Now the Rush, we mentioned this yesterday, the Rush says that Kol Da'olam Gavar is not just a wild free-for-all without any logic involved. Adarava, just the opposite, says the Rush. We assume that the true, rightful, honest owner is going to really put in a great effort. He's going to make that extra push to get this item back because he knows deep down that it belongs to him. And on the flip side, the other party, from a mental standpoint, right? He's not really, feeling confident about this. So, yeah, he'll try to get it, but not with that same, feeling of, well, this is really mine. I'm deprived. I'm being deprived and being robbed, and I'm going to really get this. On the other hand, there's another point. It's not worth it for him, says the Rush. Why should he go and invest, beyond, when there's a good chance that, you see, he knows that the other fellow is right. Good chance that the other fellow will actually come up with some solid proof and take back this item or take back this property. So why should he invest extra in getting this item? He'll give it an attempt. He'll try his best. Yeah, why not? But up to a point. So that's the logic, says the Rush, behind the Kol De'olam Gavar system. Okay, so Bezdin sort of backs away. It's up to you, fellows. Try your luck. Try to figure yourself out. Okay, so that's the system that we employ when we just don't know what to do. Asks the Gemara, but what happened to the other possible methods of dealing with this type of situation? Umayishno mishnei shtoris. For instance, why would this case be different than the case of two documents, two sale documents on the same property, on the same day, dated the same day, issued to two separate customers? That's a real dilemma. Who was this thing sold to? Right? Mishnei Shtaris, Hayotzin, Biyam Echad. We have two stories showing this item being sold, and they're both dated on the same day. Rashbam points out that even if this one was written in the morning, this one in the afternoon, it's irrelevant. Hours do not matter. They are not a determining factor when it comes to documents. He brings a raya from a Gemara that it doesn't really matter. The actual transaction kicks in be'erev, at evening, at the end of the day. So whether it was in the morning or afternoon, it doesn't matter. Both of these alleged purchasers have the same power, have the same right to claim ownership on this field. And we don't know who we really had in mind. Well, what do we do? So what do we do? The Rav Amar Yachleiku. According to Rav, we split it. Ushmol Amar Shuda the Dayan. According to Shmuel, the Dayanim, the Bezdin, We'll try to evaluate. Who did the seller have in mind? Which one did he like better? Perhaps one is a relative, one is a stranger, one is a friend, one is a... And this will somehow... We'll try to get some insight into what he had in mind. Shuda means to toss. It's sort of a toss-up. Not a toss-up, it's a giving away. Dayanim give it away. They toss it to the person they think is the real owner. Hashlacha, says Rashi. Lashon Hashlacha. Yorabayam. Right in Az Yashar. Yorabayam. He threw them into the yam. Mitargiminon shadi biyam, says Rashbam. Shadi. Tossed them into the yam. So Rab says Yachleku. Shmuel says we try to figure things out. Instead of doing Yachleku, you see, there's an advantage to Yachleku over Shuda the Daini because this way each fellow walks away with at least half. So he got something. On the other hand, there's an advantage to Shuda the Daini. You realize that by Shuda the Daini, there's a chance that they might get the right person. Right? So in that case, he's rightfully going to take possession of the entire thing instead of just 50%. So, okay, that's an interesting shiloh. Which way to go? Do we do 50-50 or do we take our chances? But called the Olam Gavar? That nobody says. So why is Rav Nachman taking the called the Olam Gavar route? It's a suffix, we're not sure, right? Why don't we take the Yachleku or the Shuda Didaini solution? Answers the Gemara, you know what the difference is? Big difference. Hasam. In that case of the conflicting documents, Leka Lemekam Allah Demosa. There is no way to truly verify. You can never figure this out. We have two documents which are inherently contradictory, right? So there's no real solution. Okay, so Bezdin adopts either the Yachleku route, you know, whatever we can, we do. Yachleku or Shuda Didaini. But over here, Hacha, in a story of the field that was up for contention, right? The Zayim Shalavaisai, Zayim Shalavaisai, ultimately you can come to proper clarity. You can verify, you can confirm ownership by way of Edim or Chazaka, right? So let's wait it out. You could make him a lot of milsa, you can figure things out. So why would Bezdin take an approach which is committal, which is no return? If in fact there's a good chance that you might end up verifying the facts later on, so leave it alone, just back off and let them fight it out. Asks the Gemara, hold it. But why is this different than the other case that we find in a Mishnah, Maseches Kedushin? Where, likewise, you can eventually figure out what happened, and still, the Mishnah says, Bezdin does get involved and splits it amongst the parties. Why is our case of the Chazaka question, of the ownership question, different than the Mishnah in Kiddushin, Hamachlev Par B'Chabar? So Reuben and Shimon swapped a cow for a donkey. I have a cow, you have a donkey, we swap it through Kinyan Chalipin, says Rashbam, which doesn't involve physical possession of the exchanged item. Basically, as soon as I am Kaina your Chamor, my para automatically transfers to you. So you need not actually see the para as it's being transferred. And that is the reason why we have some confusion here, because we all that gave birth, we're not sure when it happened. While still in my possession, or after it was sold to you. In a similar case, likewise, he sold a shivcha, maidservant. She gave birth, not sure when. Here the Rashbam points out that the Mishnah uses the word hamoicher. It was a sale through money. Basically, you paid me for the shivcha, but you didn't take physical birth. You don't know who she is. You don't know what's happening with her. But yelden, she gave birth. Who does that offspring belong to? Me or you? When did it happen? Before or after the sale? Reuben says, well, it happened before. I sold it. It belongs to me. The Shimon likewise claims that it happened after he purchased the item. He gets the offspring. And nobody was there. Nobody knows. It's still verifiable. I mean, you can theoretically produce Adam who can provide a proper, precise timeline as to what happened. We don't say called the Olam Gavar like Rav Nachman. We say Yachleku, they split it. Why? Answers the Gemara, it's still different. We understand why Yachleiku is the appropriate solution over there. Hasam over there, Lahai is Le Derara de Mamayna. Both of these individuals are connected to the item. They have a connection. They have a basis for their claim. Because the cow went from him to him. It went from Reuven to Shimon. So each fellow has firm basis for his claim of ownership. He has the rara de mamayna, a connection, a monetary connection. Lahu islay the rara de mamayna, and his disputant likewise has a connection, a monetary connection to this item. So yachleku is the appropriate approach. Each one of them has a valid claim. Tosfos adds that even without their claims, we are in a position of limbo. We're not sure when it happened. It's a circumstantial question. It's not like they're both introducing claims, like the case of Ze'imah Shalavoisai, he says it's his. Here we all are in the same, but we're not sure what happened. So the appropriate measure is Yechleiku. Huh, but in our story of the karka or the boat, Idemar, if it belongs to this fellow, Loidemar, it doesn't belong to him. Videmar, if it belongs to the other fellow, Loidemar, it doesn't belong to the first fellow. He's not connected. He's totally a stranger in terms of this item or this field. So over here, Yachleiku is not really a proper solution. Over here, we just say, look, back off. Let them fight it out until further notice. Amri Nahardai. Okay, now let's go back to Kol De'olam Gavar. If we're not sure, we say, look, fight it out. Now what happens, in Bo Echad Min Ashuk, if a third individual comes from the street, comes in, Ve'echzik Bo, and he grabs the item that's up for contention. Ein Meitzin Hasim Yadav. Believe it or not, the Bezin does not force him to give it back. Because really, we don't even know whose it is. It could be Reuven's, it could be Shimon's, it could be none of the above. So if Levi comes and grabs it, we can't force him to pay it back. The Tani Rabbi Chiya, as Rabbi Chiya presents in a Braisa, Gazlan shall rob him, person steals from the many, and we assume that he's speaking about this type of case. Two people arguing about an item, and a third person comes and grabs it, Lavshmei Gazlan, he's not considered a Gazlan. Rashbam says, pertaining to the fact that the Dayanim cannot force him to pay it back? No, says the Gemara, Vashi Omar lo elu mishmei gazlan. Of course he's a gazlan. He has no right to take that. Look, he's not claiming ownership. I mean, he's certainly not a player here. Of course he has to give it back to them. Give it back to the two warring partners. Let them fight over it. It's one of theirs. It's not yours. You certainly not don't have a right. But my lishmei gazlan, when Rav Chiya says a person who steals from a rabbi is not labeled as a gazlan, it means to his disadvantage, to his detriment. We're speaking about a person who's stealing from the multitude. He's dishonest in business or whatever, right? Shlonit and Lishoven, it's very hard. How do you find your victims? Right? A person runs a dishonest, a grocery store or whatever, he's not being careful with his weight and measurements. Shlonit and Lishoven, very difficult to repay that. That's what he meant to say. Unrelated to our story of a thing which is being fought upon by these two individuals. Now the Tosfos says it means akasha because the Gemara does tell us in Maseches Be'ah that a person who is involved in stealing from the Rabbim, he can rectify what he did by being involved in communal matters. Yase tzorchei tzibur, right? Go to the Kaisel and donate some sidurim. Tosfos says that's very... That's all good, but it's not hashava mal yasa. That's second best. I mean, you've contributed to the community. It's a great thing. You've, returned. You've given back to the tzibur. And there's always a chance that maybe your victim might benefit from you. But it's not the ideal. Unless it's personal and complete. Continues the Gemara. Cheskosen shal ashonim yom liyom. Okay, so the standard chazok involves possession and consumption of peiros for 3 years. At that point, you feel safe and secure, and You don't see a need to hold on to that document, that sale document, so you're not required to do so, you're not expected to do so, and you have ownership in your pocket. Omar Baba, idoli le'il gufe. This three-year requirement has exceptions. If the former owner, the one who was challenging this new fellow's ownership, if it can be proven that he himself, the owner himself, doubly, he lifted for him, he helped him out, he helped him carry, son of the peri, a basket of fruit. We have Adam that the complainer, the me'arer, the former owner, helped the current possessor, right? Reuven was the former owner. We have Shimon sitting in the field a couple of years, and we have proof, we have witnesses who noticed that Reuven was actually helping Shimon cart off the produce. He helped him load up the basket on his back. La'al tev chazaka. That's an immediate show of ownership to Shimon. Because why would Reuven help Shimon if in fact Shimon is robbing his field? So he's basically like being moida, he's admitting to Shimon's ownership. You don't need 3 years. It's an instant effect. Omar of Zvid, but v'im ton v'omar l'peris a relative. Okay, I helped him. Ship out his peris. But you know why? Because not because he's the owner, because he purchased the rights to my produce. L'peris a relative. Rosh Bam says like an orus, like a sharecropper. Sure, he's only worked for me. He's taking part of the produce as per his commission. That's his part. Of course I'm helping him. He's not the owner. Oh, he has a right to do that. He has a right to say that. Nam, he's believed. That's only if it's within 3 years. Because in that case, if it's as per Shimon's claim that he's really the owner, he should have had a shtar. Avol achar shalish, but once 3 years are up, you can't expect Shimon to have a shtar so long. Loi. So at this point, Reuven can no longer claim that the peiro is hereditative. He was just taking my peiros. He had a right to buy my... Because it's after 3 years. What do you expect of him? To hold on to his document forever? You should have been ma'icha. You should have protected. You should have made this declaration ahead of time. Now it's too late. Ava la'acha shalesh lo'i. Amal le'rav ashla rav kahana. What do you mean? Ila peira achte. Suppose he's right. You hire this fellow to run your farm. Right? He has a right to the peiros, whatever. Ma'ava le'le mevet. What should Reuven do? I mean, it's a peiros arrangement. So bottom line is that any person that's murdered the peiros, anybody that hires somebody to take peiros, that sells his peiros for 3 years or more, is going to lose his field because the sharecropper can now claim ownership. That's not reasonable. Omalisi says, what do you mean? What's the problem? Iboy le mechuyei. He should have been meicha. You can do that. You can say, look, Ravoisa, he's not robbing my field, but you should know the context of his presence. You should understand why he's there. I want you to know he's not really the owner. He's just a sharecropper. He just bought my produce. You can do that. So it works like a mecha, right? Once he puts him on notice, that in fact he's just a sharecropper. Then if in fact he's really the owner, he should have held on to his document. And the Gemara, I guess, it seems from the Rashbam, the Gemara and the Havamina figured you can't do a half mecha. Mecha means, hey, what are you doing in my property? You're here for no good reason. You're just a robber, right? You can't do that if he's really there for a good reason, if he has a right to be there, because he has the payrolls. The Gemara responds, no, he can do a halfway mecha. He's not necessarily negating his presence. He's not necessarily protesting his presence, but he is putting him on oath. He's declaring to all, Rabbi Yisai, he's not an owner. It's a temporary presence. He's just taking the payrolls for X amount of years. Okay. Says the Gemara, because if you're not going to agree to this kind of halfway macha that it works, what about Hani Mashkanta de Surah? What about the classic Mashkanta de Surah? Rav Ram brings the whole sugim of a Metzia, right? That we have a fellow who's trying to be nice to his loiva. Look, let's make an arrangement. You owe me $1 million? Okay, I'll take your field for 10 years. And for each year that I have that field and I consume its produce, I'll deduct $100,000 from your balance. You can do that. It's not ribbis, because I'm really taking a chance one way or the other. Maybe I'll have a successful bumper crop. Maybe I'll have a down year. So you can do that. As long as it's a set amount every year. It's called Mashkanta de Surah. Apparently in Surah they had this. This was their, you know, system. So this is a very, you know, popular arrangement. The Kasa Bahu. So they have this document where it says like this. Mishlam Shnai Elain. At the end of this, you know, term. Ended of, you know, 10 years. Tepuk Ara Double Akes. If this property goes back to its former owner, you know, without any need to pay. Basically, he gets it back. So you're going to run into problems because if he's there for 3 years or more, he has an automatic chazok, an automatic claim to ownership. Imagine the lender conceals that jamashkanta and instead pretends that it's his. Look, I purchased this property, it's mine. How many means it's going to be believed? You mean Rabban would establish a system which can cause grave loss to its owner? Apparently, the owner can still be Meicha. The Malva is there, he has a right to be there for 10 years, but you should know. He's not an owner, he's holding it as a Mashkin. You can do that. And it preempts any confusion later on. Likewise, now a Gemara. We had a similar situation. He was the Elipayers. The owner should have publicly stated as such. Amar Rabbi Damar Rav. Nu Halach. Yisrael Haba Machmas Akum. Reuben was the known owner of this property. Now Shimon has it. I bought it from a guy who told me he bought it from you. And Rashbam says that even if the guy was there for 3 years and the Yisrael, Shimon, was there for 3 years as well, it doesn't work. It's worthless. Harayuka Akam. The Yisrael has a din of the guy, which means Ma Akam en lechazaka, because I'm coming from the guy, right? My ownership is rooted on the guy's ownership. I can only have it if the guy had it. Right? So, ma'akum ein lechazaka el b'shtar, just as by a goy, chazaka doesn't work. The goy is known to steal, and the Yisrael is afraid to get in his way. So unless he has an absolute legal document proving his ownership, he's presumed to be the non-owner. So af Yisrael haba machmas akum, likewise the Yisrael who's basing his bailus, his ownership, on the fact that the guy preceded him as owner, right? Because he bought it from the guy. Ein lechazaka el b'shtar, he can only be considered owner if he has a shtar. You can't be better than the person you bought it from. Amar Rava, v'amar Yisrael. But let's say the Yisrael, the current possessor, Shimon, would say, "V'didi amar li akum." You know, the guy told me, "Diminach zavna," that he purchased it from you, Mr. Yisrael, Mr. Reuben. Mehamin is believed. Rashbam says because ultimately, the Yisrael now has a migu, because he's been here for 3 years. He could have just said, "Look, I don't know. I bought it from you. I have it 3 years." He chose not to do that. He chose to say the truth, so we believe him. Asks the Gemara, but hold it. He's still on shaky ground. Because the guy told me he bought it from you. Who says the guy is speaking the truth? I mean, you're basing everything on the guy's words, which are not trustworthy. How can you have a case? If the guy himself would claim that he bought it from Yisrael, we wouldn't believe him. And the Yisrael who's quoting the guy is believed, how can that be? If Yisrael is quoting the guy is believed, I mean, we believe you, Mr. Yisrael, that the guy told you that he bought it, but that doesn't amount to much. Elamar Rabbi says, Rabbi, you're right, let's revise that point that I made. It goes like this. When do we say that Yisrael, Shimon, can keep the field because of his chazaka, even without a shtar? Amar Yisrael, if Shimon would claim like this, Kamei didi, in my presence, Zavna Akaminach, I saw the guy buy it from you, Mr. Reuven. And then he turned around and sold it to me, Zavna Neali, Mehemet. In this case, he's really believed. Why? Because of the migu, right? Migu, the amma, the boy amalei. Because if he would wish to lie, he would have said to Reuven, "Ana zav intemenach, I myself purchased it from you." And since he has chazaka, it's his. So we believe him in what he's saying, that he witnessed the sale to the goy, in which case he's on solid footing. Okay, let's go back to the beginning. We had a machlokes, dispute, zemishal avoisai, v'zemishal avoisai, says Rav Nachman called on Gover. The Gemara tells us that's because we can't figure things out. Sorry, because in this case, ultimately it could be verified, so we leave it alone. Instead of saying yachloiku or shudda d'daini, as we say in unverifiable, stalemate. It's different in the case of the machlo par b'chamar, because each one there has some sort of connection to the item. So there, the preferred route is yachloiku. We thought that Nardoi had the shita that a third party can grab if he grabs it from these two warring partners. We can't force him to give it up. But Rav Ashi disagreed. They said, of course, he's a gazlan because he has no claim to ownership whatsoever, as opposed to these two warring parties, who at least are claiming ownership. Sholosh shanim is required for chazakah, but if the owner actually assisted this fellow in carting off the produce, that's a right of ownership, unless he has put him on notice that he had declared that, in fact, this fellow was there for this specific purpose, for payrays, which is the proper approach for the mashkanta, the surah as well. You have to make a machal. Otherwise, you're risking losing that property. And we had the halacha that a goy who sold to Yisrael doesn't amount to much unless the Yisrael can testify that he knows, he saw, that in fact Yisrael sold it to the goy. In this case, since Yisrael has a chazaka, he's believed with a migul. All the best to you and atzlocha rabbah.